Make Me Smart is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Hey, Marketplace listeners, you know around here we like to think you're never too young to learn about the economy and financial basics. That's why we're bringing the Million Bazillion Live Tour to school to teach important lessons about budgeting, investing, saving, and more. It's all the fun of the podcast, but now live, immersive, and interactive. Special thanks to our tour partner, Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Learn more about Greenlight at greenlight.com/million. That is greenlight.com/million. Well, there we go. You sit here long enough, Drew says yes. Let's get going. Since Drew, of course, is in charge.
Hey, everybody. I'm Amy Scott. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, where we make today make sense.
I'm Kai Rosendahl, back on a Friday for the first time, I think, in a very long time. It feels like I have not done this on a Friday in a long, long time. Thanks to everybody joining us on the podcast and on the YouTube live stream for Economics on Tap, the day in the week where we do the news fix with drinks in hand, although I don't have any. Happy to talk about that later. Also, maybe a little game at the end. Are you drinking, Ms. Scott? What are you drinking?
Yes, I am. I was too lazy last week to make an old-fashioned, so I did it today. So, cheers.
Good job.
Sorry, you don't have anything to talk about.
Well, you know, so here's the deal. I didn't bring a can of water. I interviewed the Liquid Death guy this week. I should have brought a can of water. But I thought about while I was running this morning. So, number one, I have a soccer game this afternoon, so I'm not drinking. Number two, I'm doing Dry January, so I'm not drinking. I will also say Dry January is miserable. Yeah, well, you know, it's very interesting. I don't think I would do it again. It's an interesting exercise. I don't think I would do it again. I would do like a dry week, you know, whatever. But it did occur to me that I, in particular, have, in the course of this podcast on Friday afternoons, not been truly aware of those who don't drink, who are in recovery, who, for whatever reason, can't drink, whatever. And so just a nod to them and a shout out to them, because there are people who like this podcast who don't imbibe, and that's cool too. And I just want to give them a nod.
Yeah.
And I thought about that while I was running this morning, so nod has been given. There you go. All right.
I approve. I appreciate that. So as you know, I'm terrible at looking at the chat, so I don't know if other people are piping in with what they're drinking.
Let's see. Oh, a Nordic sidecar. I don't even know what that is. A sidecar made with Minnesota-made aquavit. Oh, my God. Aquavit is serious stuff. My dad. Oof. Yeah.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah. Aquavit's a little scary, actually. A little scary. It's like
I don't really know what it is, but I ate at a restaurant called Aquavit once.
Yes, as have I.
Maybe they served it.
Right?
Yeah, in New York, right?
In New York? Yes. Yeah, you bet. You bet. I'm not even sure it's still there, actually.
Probably not. Nothing is there.
Anyway, let's do a little news, shall we? You go first while I Google Aquavit the restaurant.
Okay, that sounds good. Yeah, so I'm going to start with a sober topic just because I want to acknowledge that the nation is really preparing for this video to come out tonight showing the beating of Tyre Nichols by 5 police officers in Memphis. They've been charged in his killing. And, you know, cities around the country are anticipating protests in response, and I think a lot of folks are on edge. But I wanted to direct folks' attention to a story in the New York Times. Clyde McGrady had a good accounting of police reforms in the last couple of years since the murder of George Floyd in Minneapolis. States have passed more than 140 oversight laws, which is, I think, pretty significant. Wow. They're mostly focused on accountability and transparency. Activists, of course, would like to see a lot more work done on this issue. Memphis itself voted to require the Memphis Police Department to adopt policies to reduce the use of excessive force. Obviously, that is going to be revisited. So really just to, you know, acknowledge that's going on and hoping that the weekend passes peacefully.
Yeah, me too. And just a word here, that video is going to be everywhere and you don't have to watch it. You don't have to.
Yeah.
Because You know, yeah. It can be traumatic, and yeah, I'm not going to watch it.
I don't plan to either.
I don't feel the need. Yeah, yeah.
So totally right. different topic. One, yeah? There's really yeah. no good yeah, yeah. way to make this transition. But since I'm here and I cover housing, just wanted to give you this little glimmer of maybe a thaw in the housing market. We've been kind of talking mm-hmm. about that a lot on Marketplace this week. But today, the official numbers, the pending home sales numbers from the National Association of Realtors came out for December. It was the first increase in pending home sales of existing homes in 7 months. Which is significant. Hmm. And we've seen, you know, interest rates falling in the last couple of months. That's certainly driving more interest in sales. And pending sales are seen as a fresher indicator of the housing market because these are houses under contract that haven't closed yet. The closing process can take a month or more. And so this is, you know, sort of real time as we get with these kinds of things, a sign that yeah. the housing market may be thawing just a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, and people coming back after having been scared off by those interest, by those mortgage rates.
Exactly.
Okay, so here's mine. Quick item that I saw in the New York Times today. It's data from the International Energy Agency pointing out that in 2022, China used less gas and oil for the first time in decades. Which makes wow. total sense, right? Most of that country, most of that economy was shut down for large parts of last year. The big cities were shut down. People weren't traveling, all that jazz, right? It makes total sense. And that's not why I bring it up. I bring it up because as painful as it is being right now to open back up in China because COVID is running rampant and people are trying to figure it out, economic activity is going to pick up and oil and gas consumption is going to pick up. And what happens when consumption and demand pick up? Well, the price goes up. Right.
Yep.
And so while we have been enjoying, generally speaking, falling oil and gas prices for 6-ish, maybe 8-ish months, I think with the Chinese economy coming back online, American consumers, because let's remember, oil is a global commodity, right? And it is a global market. American consumers need to be ready for slightly to moderately higher oil and gas prices. It would not surprise me at all by the middle of ish of the year, you know? So,
yeah, I was wondering what that's going to mean for carbon emissions, too, because, you know,
The
beginning of the pandemic, we saw the United States emissions drop significantly. They've since started growing again. And so I wonder if we'll see even bigger numbers this year as China
Absolutely.
Has its own recovery.
Definitely will. Definitely will. Okay. I believe we've come to the Drew Jostad portion of this. Program.
Shall we play a game?
We shall. Shall indeed. By the way, Aquavit is still open in New York City. So,
oh, nice. Go. That's good. I'm glad we didn't mistakenly say right? they were gone.
Oh, my Lord. All right. So half full, half empty is the game. Drew Jostad gives us the news, and we will tell you how we are feeling about him. Drew, go.
This first one is a real estate topic. A proposed project for the Baldwin Hills neighborhood of L.A. has a Costco on the ground floor and then apartments above it. Are you half full or half empty on the concept?
Oh, interesting.
Well,
go ahead, housing person.
How many levels of apartments? I'm sorry, that's probably too detailed.
The sketch looks like 5 floors. It's a total of 800 apartments.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
That's a lot of apartments.
Well,
that's
good. You know, I'm in favor of new housing. Yay. I mean, I think that makes sense. I hope it's nice.
Yeah.
I am not a Costco devotee. I know there are some that have, you know, hosted this program previously. It's just too far from my household. So I can't say like, yay, upstairs from Costco. I hope they're big enough and have pantries, though, because if you're buying in bulk... takes a lot of space.
Well, exactly. So look, I'm half full on this for two reasons. Number one, mixed use, right? Mixed use developments and walkability. One imagines that that's going to be a good neighborhood. And so, yes, I'm in favor of that. Also, I am or have been a Costco devotee. And that actually came up in a conversation my wife and I were having the other day. So like 8 or 9 years ago, when all 3 boys were still home and our daughter is here and we had 4 kids and 2 adults, we were going to Costco like every 10 days. And we would go and buy 4 gallons of milk every 10 days. And we would blow through it. I went to the store the other day and got a half a gallon of milk. just because it's three of us. And we don't have three ravenous
I'm
boys.
I'm always sad.
That's
when
why I'm
Ty
selling
talks
the minivan.
About the empty
it was a little sad. It was a little sad. It was a change. It's not empty yet, but it's way less crowded than it used
it's
to be.
Emptying.
Let me tell you.
Yeah.
Let me tell you. We are,
so
we
I guess
are
we're
a
both
half gallon
full
milk
on
at
that
a time
one.
Family. That's right. That's
half
right.
Full of milk.
That's right. Drew, what's next?
Half full or half empty on the drama with the M&Ms.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
can
brother.
Somebody fill me in on this? Because I genuinely don't know what happened.
So,
seriously.
Drew, I don't know if you want to fill him in. I can do my best. I think the TLDR is it looks like it was just a stunt. They like said the M&M, you know, characters were taking a pause after some conservative criticism that they were trying to be too quote unquote woke by including, you know, purple and making them less sexy. I was like, were the M&Ms ever sexy? This is insane.
No, it was weird.
It was totally weird. The whole thing was really weird. And I just read a story in the Times that suggests that maybe this was just to try to get more people to watch their commercial for the Super Bowl. The cartoon characters are not gone. Hopefully Maya Rudolph is involved because she's awesome. But yeah, I'm half empty and on the whole thing.
Yeah, like Tucker Carlson got spun up and it became a thing. Yeah, half empty. I'm all the way empty. Forget it. Boo. I'm empty. Boo.
All right.
Boo, boo, boo.
Next topic is a new service for Amazon Prime members that is a prescription, generic prescription drug subscription service. Half full or half empty?
Yeah, I might even like to see some kind of variation on the price. So I'm half full because people need medications, and if we can get them cheaper, that's great. But Amazon Prime is not cheap, and I think if they could come up with some cheaper subscription service that let you get those medications at a decent price, that would be better. But generally speaking, I'm half full because, look, drugs are expensive.
Yeah, I guess I would say I'm half empty just because I think we don't need one company that does so much in our economy,
no,
and maybe someone else
fair.
Can do that. Yeah.
Yep. That's fair. Here's the thing, though. Wasn't
also,
there a
they
company
killed Smile,
like...
which was like the way that you could donate
that's true.
To
they
a
did.
Charity
You're
of
right.
your choice. And there are all these small charities that, including our kids' school, that got, you know, a little bit of chunk of change from that. So maybe I'm just kind of mad
totally
at Amazon
true.
Right now.
Totally true. Yeah. All right. Drew?
We want to do a poll? On the next
one. Oh, yeah.
Are we there
Thanks
already? Yes, of course
me.
We want to do a poll. Holy cow, I'm just blowing through this thing. Yeah,
so
Amy,
for those of you
go,
on the YouTube poll. Live stream, we're going to take a little poll on this last topic. So don't forget to weigh in with your answers. And hopefully someone will tell me what your answers are.
Yeah, I have not yet figured this out. So Mel or whoever's running this thing has to hook us up. I'm a little helpless on this thing. Okay, so we will hold our responses and give you guys, you know, 30 seconds-ish to weigh in on the poll. And this obviously is for the YouTubers on Friday afternoon. It's not for the people listening to the pod later. Sorry. Okay, Drew.
Are you half full or half empty on people using ChatGPT to write cover letters for job applications?
Very interesting. Very interesting. I have thoughts.
Oh, yeah.
Which I will share in like 20 seconds. You know.
So we won't be swayed by our audience.
That is correct. That is
I feel like
correct.
Every week it's going to be a new variation on ChatGPT.
I know, right? Well, it is, and that's the thing. I mean, this is still early days yet. Really early days.
I saw someone in Bloomberg tried to get ChatGPT to create an ETF that would beat the stock market. And the answer
is that right?
Oh, my God. Hilarious. It was like, please consult a financial... you know, professional before.
No, really? Oh, that's so
It was
funny.
Basically like, we can't. So we can't funny. Do that. Yeah.
All right. Okay.
All right. You
Kai. I'm calling it. I go. Okay. So generally speaking, I'm opposed, although I am not a Luddite and I cannot stand athwart the river of history that's coming at us with AI and technology and all that jazz, and it's going to happen. I just want us to be smart about it. And I want people to understand the downsides of relying on artificial intelligence for stuff that human intelligence ought to do. And I think making yourself presentable to an employer is a thing that human intelligence ought to do. So I'm kind of half empty-ish. That's where I am.
Yeah, I would agree. I hate to be a downer. At first, I was like, oh, wouldn't it be nice to have help with that? Because that cover letter, I'm thinking about like applying for grants, which I do for my films. And it's... you just want somebody to like help you with that introduction. So again, right. I understand the temptation, but I would agree with Kai, like communication is really important. And
right.
Yeah, I guess I'm half empty. Sorry, yeah, Drew. I feel like we've been kind of down on
All right. So here is the poll results. Wow. We're pretty split. 161 votes. 50% of you are half full. 49% of you are half empty. I don't know what that says about our audience. I don't know. Yes, I know.
I kind of want to know. I want to know what people are thinking who are half full. We should... Yeah.
Well, yeah. So look, let's do this. We're going to talk about Kimberly and I. So Kimberly's coming back next week, which we'll get to in a second. But we're going to talk about AI and ChatGPT. So if you've got thoughts on that topic, generally speaking, write to us. We'll choose some of them, get them on the pod, and that.
Yeah, I would like to be convinced, or at least you know, to hear why people are in favor of that.
Totally. I kind of buried the lead there. Kimberly's coming back on Monday. She's been, I think, off on a family vacation, I believe. I don't know. Amy Scott has been awesome the past couple of weeks. And Matt Levin and Janet and everybody else who's filled in. I think Sam Fields did it once or twice.
Thanks
to all y'all who did the thing while Kimberly and I were off doing other things. If you have, by the way, a question... You want us to answer for What Do You Want to Know Wednesday, or if you've got just a comment or a question or anything or the answer to the Make Me Smart question, send us what you got. Here's how to do that.
You can leave a voicemail at 508-UB-SMART. Just one last time. Remember, that's the letter U, the letter B, S-M-A-R-T, or you can email makemesmart@marketplace.org.
I don't think it's the last time we'll see you here, Amy Scott.
For a while.
I don't think so. Make Me Smart is produced by Courtney Bergsicker. Today's episode was engineered by Drew Jostad, who also wrote the theme music to our game Half Full, Half Empty. Antonio Barreras is our intern.
The team behind our Friday game is Mel Rosenberg, Emily McCune, and Antoinette Brock. Marissa Cabrera is our acting senior producer. Bridget Bodner is the director of podcasts. And Francesca Levy is the executive director of digital.
Perfect timing. Perfect then.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.